Good morning, everyone. I do feel inclined to say Merry Christmas, but not quite Christmas yet, is it? When's Christmas? Friday? Is it Friday? Okay, hi. Friday. Okay, well, turn to the person next to you and shake their hand and say Merry Christmas for Friday. Okay, that was a simple obedience test to see if you could only say that and not go off talking about your week. It's good to be in church, and good to hear our children be involved in church, and it's good to see that we're part of God's body, right? We remember this time specially, because of course this is the Christmas season, and so our title of our message today is called... Thank you, we're waking up. The title of our message today is... Those of you on this side are excused from seeing anything because your screen's not working. I don't know what happened up there, but... Read over here if you would. Cradle to the Cross is what we're thinking about today, because although the Christmas season, of course, is the time we think about the cradle, we must not in that discussion lose sight of the message that Jesus brought when he came as a baby. Before we go on with our message, just a couple of announcements that I would like to make. We like to begin our year with a retreat, and so the GICF retreat will be held on the 9th of January. Okay, so if you're a mobile phone person, just stick the date in right there. 9th of January, we will have our GICF retreat. It'll be held at the Fountains. You can sign up from next week, not from this week, but just so you know to put it in your calendar. I know some of you will probably travel over the holidays, so just so that you're advised in advance, 9th of January will be the GICF retreat. Okay, don't forget that. And then I wonder, is anyone leaving today? Is this anyone's last service? It's a terrible service to be your last service, but is anyone leaving who didn't get a chance to say goodbye? Nope. Okay, very good. Then let's go on with our message for today. So we're thinking about cradle to the cross. Christmas is a time to think about the cradle. Christmas also begins with a letter. Thank you. You're more or less with me. And so does cradle. And so does cross. So let's have a look. But before we get to our message, of course, how many of you have been here for several Christmases already? And you've ever heard me preach at Christmas? I am required by our sponsors to bring you our Christmas message. Of course, our sponsor of this morning's meeting is, that's right, Jesus. He's our sponsor for this meeting. He wanted me to tell you that Santa is not real. Everyone say? Okay, how many of you actually still believe in Santa? Okay, well, bad news is Santa is not real. And he's that big fat man with a red coat and a big white beard. Any white beards in here? No, Santa, unfortunately, is not real. Apparently, my mother says she found that out when she was 12 years old. Seems quite late. So I don't know if there's anyone younger than 12 and you didn't know that. Santa is not real. Where do the presents come from? Your parents, maybe, if you're lucky. As you know, I grew up in a home where we did not celebrate Christmas. And so I never got any presents at Christmas. Everyone say? Thank you. If you want to make up for that now, you're welcome to do so. But Santa Claus, it's a joke, it's a joke. Don't come round on your sleigh on Christmas Eve and bring me presents. Santa is not real. However, we have a quick question for you Christian people. Jesus was born on? Oh, you're supposed to say the 25th of December. And then I say heretics and make you leave the church. No, of course not. Jesus was born on, we don't know. Does the Bible tell us? The Bible does not tell us. Does it seem like it was the 25th of December? There's no evidence in the Bible. It seemed like it was not, in fact, not a very likely date. Chosen for a variety of reasons we'll not go into today. Here's another question for you. Jesus died at? Okay, there's several right answers to that one. Thinking more of the time period rather than the place. Passover, thank you. Interesting that, isn't it? Jesus was born on? There you go, let's try that again. Jesus was born on? Yes, and Jesus died at? Interesting that, isn't it? The Bible tells us clearly Jesus died at Passover. In the Western calendar, that falls about March or April. Okay, let's have a look at a verse in Ecclesiastes 7. This is not actually our message, this is just the introduction, so don't fall asleep just yet. In Ecclesiastes 7:1, it says this, a good name is better than a good ointment. Okay, all you ladies love your perfumes and your creams and all those weird things. A good name is even better than that, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. And maybe that's why the Bible doesn't record the date of Jesus' birth. But it clearly records the date of his death. There may be something in that. And just one more check from your sponsor. How many wise men were there with the shepherds on the night Jesus was born? None of them, right? If you listen to our readings this morning, you'll see the wise men found Jesus in the house. It doesn't say baby anymore, it says a young child. So, oh dear, I've been censored. That's bad news. Our sponsor would like you to know that among all those traditions we have at Christmas time, some of them are real and biblical and some of them are not. But the message of Christmas is that Jesus is real, and so we want to see a little bit about him at this time. There were no wise men at the manger. They probably came up to 2 years later to see baby Jesus. It took him a while to travel from in the Far East. We're ready to begin our service, and so let's just take a moment to bow our heads and pray and ask that God would speak to us from the truth of his word. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can gather together on this, what we call our Christmas service, the time nearest to which we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. We thank you that as we look into your word, we find the truth, that Jesus himself is the truth. And so we ask that he would speak to us today and encourage us as we study your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our title, as we said, is From the Cradle. Now, to be a little bit more accurate, we should not say cradle. We should say, the problem with the word manger is it doesn't begin with a C. So I couldn't say from the manger to the cross because it just didn't fit with Christmas. From the cradle or the manger. So let's have a little look. And as I show you some of the things from our readings this morning, I'd like you to think about a little baby. Anyone know a baby? Anyone ever seen a baby before? Any young babies in here? Okay, there's some babies sleeping in the front row. No, you're my baby. That's a different one. And there are a few babies in here. Thank you. That's not in the notes. You're not supposed to say "aw" there. There are a few babies in here, and we tend to go "aw" when we see a baby, right? We think they're cute. See, there's a little boy there. He's not quite a baby. And there's baby Sophie, and everyone, they think babies are lovely, right? Imagine baby Jesus. So we have read five portions of God's words, and they talk about baby Jesus. So imagine, if you will, there at that time, looking at the baby. I would like us to see some of the titles that were applied to Jesus. And imagine if you would ever apply them, or imagine them applied to a baby. So here's the first one. The first one that was in our first reading was Matthew chapter 1. And it says in verse 23, Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold," this is the prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled at that time, "a virgin shall be with child," Tom preached on that last week, "and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? You're great students of Greek. Emmanuel means God with us, or of Hebrew, I don't know. The original language says God with us. It says, being translated, God with us. Imagine looking at a little baby, newborn. How many of you think newborn babies are cute? Okay, mostly those who haven't seen them or those who don't remember. I have had four children. I was present at the birth of three of them, and newborn babies do not look cute, regardless of what their mothers say. They're kind of wrinkled and squashed up and red, and oh, they don't look very cute at all. In my opinion, it takes about 3 months before a baby looks cute. Sorry if there's any young mothers here and you're offended by that. But babies don't usually look like God, right? Babies don't usually look like, you don't look at it and go, "Oh, there's God. He's such a cute little baby." What was said that night, or the prophecy was fulfilled, "A virgin shall bear a son, and they will call his name." Can you imagine looking at a baby and saying, "Emmanuel, hey, look, there's God. What a cute little baby." Okay, well, what else was there in the first stories of Jesus? Remember, of the four Gospels, only three of them tell us about the beginning of Jesus, right? Matthew tells us about the birth of Jesus. Luke tells us the most complete story about the birth of Jesus. Mark says nothing. And John tells us about the beginning of Jesus. You remember that passage? We read it this morning. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. And so the beginning of Jesus, of course, was not the cradle. Jesus has no beginning and he has no end, because Jesus himself is. Have you ever looked at a little baby and said, "Oh, there's God. How cute"? Of course not. That's what was happening on that night when baby Jesus was born. Actually, to be strictly accurate, we're not sure how late in the evening it was, but the angels did come down at night And they sent the shippers down, by which time we hope baby Jesus was a little more presentable for his first guests. So Jesus was called Emmanuel. That is, God with us. But only because first he had been, or he was, God himself. Jesus was God himself. He was not created. He was simply born in human form at that time. And so here at the beginning, we begin to reveal a little about Christ at the cradle. All right, moving on. So we find in our second reading, we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. If you want to turn back to it, there are several titles given to Jesus in Luke chapter 2. And in verse 2, it says this. This census took place in the... Well, Quirinius was governing Syria. That's not the right verse. It should say... I don't know which verse that was. That's probably Matthew. When the wise men came to Herod, they said, "We have heard that there has been born a king of the Jews." We'll go back to that. I think it's in Matthew, right? It should be Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "He has been born a king of the Jews." And when a king is born, I don't know if you've ever seen a king born. Have you ever seen a king being born? No, well, obviously not actually literally being born. But in Britain, we had one recently. The future king, George, was born, I think, about 3 years ago. And when he was born, what happened? They made a big announcement. It was on the news for the 9 months leading up to the birth. And Kate is pregnant. The baby's going to be born. It'll be born any day now. She's got morning sickness and every little detail of the pregnancy. And when it was born, finally, they put the notice outside the hospital. They didn't say the king is born, but they announced this baby who would be the king. Of course, it's still many years before George becomes king of Britain. But there was a big deal made when that king was born. When Jesus was born, where was the announcement? Where were the journalists? Where were the TV cameras? Of course, they didn't have TV cameras in those days, but where was the big announcement? The only announcement, of course, was in the sky. The star that shone that led the wise men, and they came to Jerusalem, because, of course, the king should be born in the capital, right? Our future king of Britain was born in London, in the capital. So why was he not? Anyone who looked at that baby lying in the manger would never say, "This is a baby who's going to be a king." There was nothing about his first birth or his first appearance that said he was a king of the Jews. In Luke 2, 6, and let's hope I got the right verse this time. Nope. So that may be Matthew, may still be in Matthew. It said he will be a ruler. Help me find it if you can. Is that in Matthew chapter 2? Matthew 2, 6. Okay, so if it says Luke, probably it should say Matthew. Sorry about that. I will fire my secretary. "But to you, Bethlehem, in the land..." That was me, by the way. I typed it myself. "In the land of Judah, and not the least among the rulers of Judah, but out of you shall come a ruler," or a governor, as one version says, "who will shepherd my people Israel." That was the verse we were looking for. A ruler. This baby who was born lying in the manger is supposed to be a ruler, but yet there were none of the signs of that. There was no bodyguard, no one to protect him, no great announcement, no fanfare that a ruler had arrived. The verse also goes on and said he will be a shepherd. There might have been some evidence that he was going to be a shepherd because he was laid in a manger. So far, the only word that we've got that would humanly seem right is shepherd. Ah, yes, I can believe that this kid would be a shepherd. Look, he's lying in a bed that is for feeding an animal, a manger. That could be true. He might be a shepherd one day. But that passage goes on and it says, "He is Christ the Lord." Now, I guess we'll be actually in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Yes, there you go. Luke 2, verse 11 says, "This day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. So now we look down at that baby. We said, yeah, shepherd, we could believe that. But Christ? What does Christ mean? It means Messiah. Does this baby look like the Messiah? I doubt it. It looked like any normal newborn baby. The Lord, the ruler, the boss. Did he look like that? Didn't look like any of those things. We begin to reveal, if you can see at the back, you're beginning to see there's a picture appearing in the names that were given to this child. The next name that was given in Matthew 1:27, and hoping that verse will be right. Matthew doesn't have 27 verses in chapter 1. Who did this? I'm not going to say the demon of the PowerPoint, but anyway, the Bible tells us, you will call his name, maybe, it's in chapter 1 anyway, they will call his name, they told Mary and they told Joseph, you will call his name Jesus. They called his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? God saves. So I'm sorry about all those references, that will just mean you have to go home, download the recording and check where the references really should have been from. But it's in the Bible. Jesus was the name given to this baby because God saves. He will save his people from their sins. What good can a baby do? I mean, what can a baby do apart from crying? Not a great deal. Matthew 1:21. All right, thank you. Matthew 1:21. I might have to delegate my PowerPoints to you next time. Matthew 1:21, his name will be called Jesus. And then in Luke 2:11, which was actually not Luke 2:11, I think, it said, he will be the Savior. Today is born to you in the city of David a Savior. The one who would redeem, who would save, who would deliver. So here we see another couple of names that reveal to us, pronounced at the birth of this baby, what he was going to do for us. And so in our final section of names given to Jesus, we go back to John chapter 1. And I know this one is right. In John 1 verse 1, we've said it before. It says, in the beginning was the, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was called the Word of God. He was the living Word. He came down in human form. He was God's living Word. And when he spoke, that was the Word of God. And of course, we have that written down. If you have a red letter Bible, you see all those words in red were actually Jesus' Word. He is the Word in human form. But yet, to look at him, he was just a little baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. He didn't look like anything special. And despite some of the mythology that goes around about the birth of Jesus, when he was born, he was not able to talk. And despite our favorite songs, Away in a Manger, can you sing that one? Away in a manger, yeah. No crib for a bit. And then the cattle are lowing. What happens next? The baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Okay, that's heresy. Because he was a baby. He was a human. He cried just like you and me. And there's no sin in crying. Unless it's my children, they're not allowed to cry when it wakes me up in the night. But children cry because they communicate that way. Nothing wrong with crying. If you're a little baby, don't be worried about crying. Baby Jesus was a normal human baby. And at that time gave no evidence that he was God. He wasn't born with teeth and eating meat and speaking and doing miracles as a baby. He was born as a baby, a human, normal child. Nothing glorious about that particularly. And then also in John chapter 1, let's turn over there. In John chapter 1, we find a few more verses down. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jumping down to verse 7, this man, John, came as a witness, to bear witness of the light. Verse 8, he was not that light. Verse 9, that Jesus was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. And so right from that very first, Jesus was called the light. Later on, he himself said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. He calls us the light. But that baby was called the light. If we continue in that part in John, we'll see that the light is tied so closely to life that they can't be separated. And that's good science. If we were to switch off the sun for a little while, how long could we last? How long could life survive on Earth without the sun? Yeah, almost nothing. Right? If the sun were not to rise this morning, probably you wouldn't have got out of bed. I don't know, maybe your alarm clock would have woken you. But very soon the plants would die. And if the plants die, then all the animals die and all the people die. Our food is gone, no energy. The light and life are so closely tied together that the same is true of Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is our life. He is our light. But yet to look at that baby, there was nothing dramatic or sparkling. Never mind the halo that we see often in those pictures. He had no halo. When we see him, there was nothing about him that should make us think, oh, there's something special. When we put all of these together, we make a picture. What is that picture? If we summarize those a little, you'll see in the background the shadow of the cross. See, the baby heard me saying it's okay to cry. So, the shadow of a cross, because none of this, or almost none of this, was completely true when Jesus was born. Did Jesus come down and say something when he was a baby to his mum? Hey, don't worry, mum, God is with you. No, he didn't. Was there any evidence to look at him that he was God? A quick miracle, turn perhaps that room for the animals into a beautiful palace, a 5-star hotel? No, there was no evidence. Was there any evidence that he was a king? None at all. Which of these points was obvious by looking at that baby? If you were to look down at Jesus without knowing what you know today, lying in a manger, how many of these things would you believe? Find it hard to believe any of them. But yet they were pronounced over him at his birth. And so these titles, described or written down or prophesied or spoken at the time of his birth, in fact, reveal the cross. Because with the cradle alone, with the manger alone, we have no truth in the fact that he was going to save. Because the fact that he was going to save brings us to the cross. We have no idea that he was going to be the light that would shine. This one. You can't censor me. Without the cross, we have no way of knowing that the rest of these, the Lord of our lives, the King of the Jews, they could not be fulfilled just by having a simple baby born and laid in a manger. We need the cross to make these make sense. So let's go on and see. God, a baby, a humbling experience. Let's put them together. And so if we take the first of those points, his name will be called Emmanuel, which is to say, let's put these together. God with us. Is God with us today? Yes, he is. How do we know that? See, if it stayed as a baby, that baby would have grown up and died just as a normal person, and there'd be the end of the story. If it were not for the cross, then Jesus would not be alive, because he died on that cross, and then he was raised from the dead. And so he can be God with us, not as a baby, but as a living, eternal being. He is our Savior. What does Savior mean? The one who saves us. How did Jesus save us? By being born as a baby? Unfortunately not. Jesus saves us because he died on a cross. So that you and I wouldn't have to die on a cross. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ on a cross. He could not be called Savior until he went from the cradle or the manger to the cross. The second set of scriptures that we looked at, they reveal to us that he is the Savior. He said Jesus and the Savior. The third set of scriptures that we looked at tell us that Jesus is our life. Jesus said to his disciples later, without me you can do nothing. Okay, would you just wave? Everyone wave to me, please. Wait, come on, please. Collaborate. Wave to me. Come on, be nice people. It's Christmas, right? Yeah, that's it. Okay, put your hands down. Thank you. I know you're awake. Did you do that by yourself? Or did God move your hand? Did you do it yourself or did God move your hand? You did it by yourselves. So without Jesus you can wave. That's great, isn't it? Can you do that because of God or can you do that by yourself? How come we say without him you can do nothing? Jesus said that. So can you wave your hand without God's power? Sure, I can't look. No, you cannot. Imagine God says, okay, you can't wave your hand anymore. What would happen? God says, okay, take his breath away, thank you. I'll just hold on to that for 10 minutes. You won't need it, will you? Bye-bye, Carlos. Right? Our strength, our energy, our life comes from God himself. And so Jesus is our life. Without him, we can do. How much do we realize that? How much are we consciously aware? When we look down at that baby, let me tell you. I get in trouble. When a baby comes into your family, it doesn't seem sometimes like it's brought you life. In fact, it seems like it has taken your life. Warning to all those who don't have children yet. The baby will take all your time. And it won't just take it and say, please, may I have it? It will scream until it gets it. A baby will demand everything of you. It will say, yes, I am your life now. And in a way, that's what Jesus is. But Jesus didn't do it that way. He did it by dying so that his life can come into us. And that we can live for him and through him and by him. And the truth is, without him, we can do nothing. If you wake up this morning, as someone once sent on WeChat, a message that I thought was great. If you woke up this morning, it wasn't your alarm clock that woke you up. If you have any doubt, put the alarm clock beside a dead person. Will it wake them up? It's the power of God in us. He is our life. The last set of scriptures that we saw, it says that Jesus was King, Ruler, Shepherd, the Lord. All of those words are authority words. Even the shepherd is in charge of the sheep. Every one of those four titles given to Jesus were words that mean boss, commander. The one who has the right to say, stand up, sit down, speak up, be quiet. He is the one that can tell us what to do because he is our. And so the four passages that we put together teach us some things that were not fulfilled when Jesus was born. In one sense they were, but it was only the beginning of a road that would lead him from the cradle to the cross. And you know, that is not the end of the story, because this same picture applies to you. Some years ago, a little tiny being called Chris was born. It was about 20 years ago, right, Chris? And it was just a little baby. Didn't look like he does now. But then he began to grow and grow and grow. And look how big he is now, right? Tall guy. But along that road, he had to go from the cradle to the... Come on, stay with me. He went from the cradle to the cross. You see, the picture of Jesus' life is also a picture of your life and my life. That we began, yes, in a cradle, helpless, taking all the time of our parents, crying, fussing, wanting to be fed, making a mess, making our house smelly, all those wonderful things that we did, but we had to grow up from there. And one day we had to come to the cross. And the cross is supposed to show us that Jesus is God Himself come down to be with us. Jesus came to save us from our sins, to know that Jesus is our life and without Him we can do nothing, to show us that Jesus is Lord. He is our boss. If we realize this, then we need to put that right into the center of our heart. This message from the cradle to the cross is supposed to govern the way that we live. It's supposed to govern the way that we live. These four expressions, these terms that apply to Jesus, summarize the verses that we've read. We see a baby at Christmas time. Okay, we think that's wonderful, a cute baby. But we need to go on from that cradle and see that the only way these terms could be fulfilled was through the cross where Jesus died. And to recognize that that gives Jesus a claim on your life. That gives Jesus the claim on your life. He saved you not to do as you will, but to do as He wills. He is Lord not to allow you to be His boss and demand from Him, but that He may command you and expect that we would follow what He has commanded. Christmas, we often think of the baby. We cannot stop at the baby. We must move on from the cross, from the cradle to the... Because that's the title of our message today. However, we really can't stop there. So we need to add one more word to our message this morning. Can you guess what it might be? We began in the cradle. We moved on to the cross. Can you have any guess what might be the next word we need to add? Coming, that's a good one. I like that one. We need to move to the crown. Because you see, Jesus came as a baby, but He grew up to be a full-grown man. To die on a cross so that He had the right of ownership over your heart and mine. Whether we've given it to Him or not, He has the right of ownership over our hearts. He redeemed us. That means He bought us back. And so Jesus, from the cradle that we remember at this time of year, moved on to the cross. But He didn't stay there. He now has a crown. He went up, it says in the Bible, back to sit at the right hand of God the Father, where He reigns in the majesty on high. Jesus now reigns with God in heaven. His physical body is not with us on earth, that's us. The Bible says we are the body of Christ here on earth. We do His work. But one day, as Andrea said, we could equally call this to the coming. One day, Jesus will come again. And He's not coming back as a cute little baby. He's not coming back as a tiny little thing that cries in His mummy's arms. He's going to come back as a king. If the Queen of Great Britain were to come into here, you would expect some respect. If the president of your country or the king or queen of your country were to come in today, you would expect some respect. If Jesus were to come in today, how would we be? Well, sure, we'd be happy he's come back. But I hope that in us, Jesus, he's finally here. There would be a sense of awe in his presence. And we must not wait till he comes back to sense that awe. The Jesus that we often see this time of year laid in a manger will come back, not looking like a tiny baby anymore, but looking like the king, riding on his horse, coming on the clouds with all his saints to execute judgment on the earth. To execute judgment on the earth. And so Christmas is a wonderful time to remember the birth of Jesus. It is good to remember that. It's good to share that at this time with our friends and those around about us who don't understand what Christmas means. And they get stuck on Santa and Christmas trees. But Christmas can't just stay as a baby. It must move on to remember that one day Jesus himself will come back. And when he does, he will be king forever. Of his kingdom and his government, there will be no end. Let's learn, as we get near to the end, some life lessons from the birth of Jesus. Some life lessons from the birth of Jesus. We remember Jesus' birth at Christmas, and that's wonderful because it reminds us that Jesus ran the human race and he won. He died so that he could defeat death, and he is coming back once again to rule. Now that reminds us of four important lessons. And the first is this. Your first birth. Oh, I just want one of those. Our first birth is not a determinant of our life's success. Imagine if you'd been born in a stable, laid in a manger. No wealth, no riches, no wonderful things happening around about you. No announcement. Would you become successful in life? The message of Jesus' birth is that it does not matter the conditions of your first human physical birth. You might have been born into a family where you were undesired. Your parents maybe didn't want another child. You were a surprise. Oh, look, we got pregnant again. Oh, no. Your first birth might have been into a life of poverty. And you said, I don't want to ever live like this. But your first birth does not determine how you will turn out in life. Your first birth is not a determinant of your success in life. So if you feel like you had a bad start in life at Christmas time, look at that baby lying in a manger. What worse start could you have had? Born and laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. No fancy palace, no hotel, no wonderful hospital, no medical treatment. Just some angels to sing of his glory. If you think you had a bad start in life, take Christmas as a chance to tell you, snap out of it. It does not matter the conditions of your first birth, how you can turn out in life, because Jesus, by the cross, transforms all of those. The second birth is what determines your eternal future. You might live a difficult life on earth. You might even be martyred on earth. You might never be rich and famous. But if you are born twice, you have an eternal future. That's the message that we remember from the birth of Christ. We remember that our first birth makes no determination on how we'll turn out in life, on the success we'll have. But our second birth makes all the difference to how you will spend eternity. And we learn two more lessons from Christ's birth. I'm pointing the wrong direction. We learn this, that our first death holds no fear if we live for Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. He did not desire to go to the cross. He said, Father, take this cup away from me. He did not desire humanly to go there, but he went because he loves us. And so the cross is the symbol eternally of the outstretched arms of Jesus in an expression of his love for us. The first death, one day you're going to die. We have no reason to fear that. Although if you're like me, I fear the pain. I don't love pain. I don't want to suffer and die, but I'm not afraid to die because I know that I will be with Jesus forever and ever. The first death holds no fear to those who live for Jesus. But the message of Christmas is also this. The second death is final and interminable. There is no way back after the second death. The Bible tells us quite clearly, the second death is eternal separation from God. What worse situation could we have in our life? Our first birth does not determine our life's success. But our second birth determines our eternal life. The first death is now no longer any fear because Jesus came, was born as a baby, grew up and died as a man, and is coming again as our king. And so we have no reason to fear either the first or second death if Christ is reigning in our hearts. We're almost at the end of our message this morning. And one of the names given to Jesus was God Saves. Yeshua in Hebrew. Jesus. That is the name above all other names. He was given a name above all other names. And in Jesus we know that His death brings us life. Our death to self, our choosing to give our lives to Him brings us life. And one day our physical death will bring us to eternal life, to be with Him forever. But isn't that interesting? Look at those two words. Let's put them now with the scripture verse where we began. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than good ointment. What's the good name that we have? What's the good name that we have? The name above all names. And the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Christmas, we remember Jesus' birth, but let's not forget that the only thing that allowed those prophecies to be fulfilled was His death and resurrection. The day of Jesus' death is the day that we celebrate, though today we remember, or this week we remember His birth. Jesus' death has brought us life. And so in a moment we're going to finish with our closing song, Come Emmanuel. Those should be the words on the lips of any born-again believer, waiting for that day when Jesus, God in physical human form, comes back to be with His people. And so we must end at the beginning. Today, this week, we celebrate the name of Jesus. But as we do that, let's remember His death is our way to life. So let's sing Come Emmanuel at this Christmas time, and let's make it true. As the music ministry to come up, let's look at our conclusion. You might this morning have found yourself in one of these three categories. On that first, what we call first Christmas, it wasn't Christmas at all, but that first time when Jesus was born, there were three kinds of people. I would like to challenge you to evaluate where you are this morning. In which of these categories are you? Are you a cradle watcher? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but there are some people who only come to church at Christmas. Right? If you're one of those, try not to look guilty. Okay? I don't recognize you from up here. There are some people who they just look at that baby and I know, you know, we have baby Sophie and there's some other little babies. I think baby Sophie's our youngest one, right? Everyone sees the baby, that's baby Sophie over there. Everyone sees and they go, oh, and they start to say silly things. They go, oh, and they want to pinch her cheeks. If we look at baby Jesus like that, we forget who He really is. Jesus is no longer a baby. The cradle watchers, it says in Luke 2:18, they wondered about all these things they heard. They were amazed about it. They said, oh, a baby born to be king. Oh, that's wonderful. And they looked a little baby. A cradle watcher is not a born again Christian. Someone who just looks at Jesus and goes, oh, that's cute. Yeah, nice Jesus at Christmas. Nice story. Oh, well, that's nice. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Stop cooing over the baby Jesus and move on. The next group of people that we find in the story of Jesus, not at that first day, was the cross gazers. The Bible says in Luke 23:35, it says, and the people stood by watching as Jesus hung on a cross. They just observed. They didn't say, let's get him off there, let's save him, let's deliver him. They just looked. The leader said, well, if you're really God, save yourself, save us too. They mocked him. There were some people in Jesus' human lifetime who just gazed at the cross and said, oh yeah, let's see. What's this? Oh, he just died. Oh well, that's the end. Don't be a cross gazer. That is, a born again Christian is someone who picks up the cross and says, I'll walk behind that man. Who, yes, he was born as a human baby, he really was, but he grew up and he chose to take his cross for me. Don't be a cross gazer. Pick up your own cross and live for him. And finally, the third group of people are those who are called to be crown carriers. Paul wraps up his life story, his autobiography, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he says this, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. And finally there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, has prepared for me. And not just for me, but also for to all who have loved His appearing. Christmas is a time we remember Jesus appearing. Let's not get stuck on the baby. Let's remember that Jesus one day will come back and He'll bring with Him His own crown, certainly to reign, but He's a crown for you and for me if we have loved His appearing and chosen to walk after Him. And so at Christmas, yes, go ahead, give those gifts, but especially give Jesus give to Jesus, like the wise men when they came sometime later, they gave the gift to Jesus. Give him the gift of your life and service, not only at Christmas, but throughout this year. Don't marvel at the baby. Don't stand gazing at the cross thinking it ended there. But work for the crown that one day he will give to us. If you love the appearing of Jesus, if you love this Christmas season, then live your own life the same way Jesus did. He began in the cradle, right, in the manger. He went on to carry and to die on his, and so must you and I. We were born physically, we must be born again spiritually at the cross. But then Jesus will come back with his, and that's your life story too. If you have gone from the cradle to the cross, then one day you will go to the crown, and we'll be with Jesus forever. And won't that be a wonderful day? Let's remember that at this time. Jesus came and he was born as a baby to promise us life eternal with him for all time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have loved your appearing. We remember your appearing at this time of the year. We remember that Jesus came, was born as a baby. Help us at this time not only to pass on love for babies, but also to pass on the message to those around about us that your second coming will be with a crown. And that we, when we see that day, will rejoice. But those around us who don't know Jesus, when they see that day, they will tremble. Let us be those who announce your word at this time and throughout the year to bring others to know you. The Jesus who went from a cradle to the cross for love of us, and who one day will come with a crown to rule and reign forever and to take us to be with him. Thank you. And so this morning we want to say, come Emmanuel. We look forward to that great day when you come. God with us. Come Emmanuel. Amen. Let's stand and sing that final song.